Glory to God. Hopefully we're going to have a little bit of fun this morning, okay? All right, should I watch the clock? That was a hesitation right there. I pay no mind. Well, praise God. Well, you know, I saw a lot of new faces this morning as I walked in, and I thought, man, this is so wonderful because we always love to see new faces in the house of God. And I saw one, I saw a couple I hadn't seen for a long time, and it was so good to see them again. And I love to come up here on the platform and see all your faces because, you know, when I'm over there in kids' church, I see all the little faces, and I love it. But when I come in here, I get to see all of the ones responsible for those over there. Hallelujah. Thank you for bringing them. Thank you for bringing them and having a part of children's ministry. You know, since we have some new folks, I always like to remind everybody who I am. Pastor Mike, of course, a children's pastor here. And my wife and I, Marjorie, we've been the children's pastors here now for, I'm losing track, I want to say 26 years. Wow, it goes fast. Thank you, I appreciate that. Time does fly when you're having fun, and it's been a good time, and we keep busy around here. As Pastor Daniel was saying, we do a lot of things around here to try to challenge, encourage, and pull you closer towards Jesus, and so we have a lot of wonderful events to do that. And just to give you a little bit of history, Pastor Randy and Pam, my wife and I, we have known them for way over 30 years. When I first got saved at about 22 years old, I was invited to his church that he was a youth pastor of in Southern California, and so I met him at a revival, Dwight Thompson revival, and that's where it all started right there, and ministered with him as a youth leader for about 2 or 3 years. Then he came to Vegas. I was devastated, but my relationship is built in Jesus, okay? All right, so I was okay. It took a few weeks, of course, but I've always been praying, God, I want to go into full-time ministry. It's what I want to do. I remember praying that on the foot of my bed, and I remember visiting Randy and Pam one time, and I told them, I said, Randy, now he had called me ahead of time, was just kind of asking some questions about, Mike, how are you doing? How are you with finances and this, that? And I didn't understand what that was all about, and came to visit him, and I kind of put two and two together and thought he was thinking about, you know, maybe being a senior pastor and all those types of things. And I had just told him, I said, Randy, if you ever become a senior pastor, I want to work for you. Now, I had said that 2 years had passed, and I was almost in tears in front of the Lord, like, Lord, when is this going to happen? You know, I'm 30 years old. Am I ever going to be a youth pastor? And it wasn't much longer after that, I don't think even a year, and I get a phone call from Pastor Randy, and he says, hey, I'm in town for Promise Keepers. Can we have lunch together? Woo! I didn't know what that lunch was going to be about, but it was about me standing here today, and here I am 26 years later. Jesus, I tell you what, you pray about things and Jesus listens. You stay close to Jesus and he's going to do some great work in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we've been working with youth for about 5 years and children for, do the numbers, 15, 16 plus years. And it's been a great, great experience. Kids are awesome. I love working with youth, you know, but sometimes they try to avoid you, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, there's Pastor Mike. Let's get out of here. That's what it was for me back then. But with kids, they just run to you, and it's like, kid, get off of me, kid, would you? You know, I love you too. But it's a great, great experience. I always like to share a few things that some of the kids had said or done, and I can't remember at all. Sometimes they'll say things, and I'll just stand there and laugh for a minute. I wish I had a pen and a paper and just write them down. We have a new family here to the church, newer family, and their son's name is Habakkuk. And that's the first time I've had a child with a name of a prophet, Habakkuk, and I thought, well, this is awesome. And Habakkuk, now he's a quiet young man. He's about kindergarten or first grade, I think, and he's kind of to himself. But last Sunday, we did like a children's movie, and we had chips and we had juice, and I see this little boy, and he's been coming for a month now, and he's feeling a little bit more comfortable, I can tell. And, you know, he's just dancing around like this. It reminded me of Jungle Book and the one character, and it's kind of a jazz swing song, and he's like, I want to be like you, ooh, ooh. And he's dancing around, and I thought, oh, man, he feels comfortable, that's awesome. So he comes up front, and he's doing the same thing. It's kind of he wasn't interrupting, it was a transition time, and he's doing that, and I stood there, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to dance with this kid. I got in there. We just started doing this together. Hallelujah. You know? And I was hoping all the kids would take to it, but they didn't. So it was just me and Habakkuk, so we had to stop. But it was a great time. It was a great time. We had a new family last week, and I greeted the kids and said, you look new to me, and welcome. And his name was Eric, and his sister. Her name was Poem. And I thought, that's awesome. And Pastor Mike has a hard time remembering names. But I looked at her, I knelt down to her, and I was telling her about some of the things we do in kids' church, and I said, Poem, wow, that's an awesome name. I won't forget that. I said, what's your middle name and last name? She told me. I said, I don't even know what it is. I forget. And I looked over at Stefania, who's been with us for Pastor Benny's daughter, and I say, Stefania, I have a hard time remembering names, don't I? And she goes, yeah, it took you a while with mine, and you still can't spell it. All right, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Stefania. You're not helping me here at all. But we have some kids say the craziest things. We have such wonderful names. There's a young lady named Basan. Basan. I got a feeling it's in the Bible somewhere, so let's look it up. Basan. And she has this big sugar cookie. And she must have done it in a craft or something, but I wasn't sure if it was like icing or if it was like some kind of other material. But it was all smashed up in the Ziploc. And she gives it to me. She goes, Pastor Mike. She's missing her two front teeth. Pastor Mike, I want you to have this. I'm like, oh, you are so sweet. And I take that and I show someone else. They go, you're not going to eat it, are you? I said, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to take my chances. All right? I ate half of it with coffee. I told her, I'm going to have it with coffee. I ate half of it and I'm still here to tell about it. Hallelujah. That's the sacrifices you have to have with kids. Praise God. Amen? Well, you know what? Being at a church for so many years has its benefits. And, I just did a wedding about 2 months ago, a young girl and a young man who were actually in my children's ministry, believe it or not, that long ago. Yes, they were young, but those are the blessings you have when you stick around for a while. And I'm starting to become a Pastor Vic, where everybody just knows me. Pastor Mike, oh yeah, he's over at Trinity. You know, everybody knows Pastor Vic. He's been around in town and here at the church as well. And there's benefits to sticking around and longevity. And so we praise God for that. Hallelujah. Well, we want to pray for a few people. We do have Ella Jones, who I don't know if we prayed for her earlier, but in case we did, I just want to mention that we do continue to pray for her. She did have a stroke. I think she's obviously still in the hospital. We want to keep her in prayer. And then Shirley Lightfoot. Now, this gal, I was a little bit confused because she came up here one day, and Pastor had her up here months ago, and she needed a kidney transplant. And so they found a match. She goes and gets the transplant, but her other kidneys were still functioning to a certain percentage. She has 4 kidneys right now. Have you ever heard of that before? We're going to have to confirm that, but hallelujah. She's doing well. So she must have had some extra room in there, but we're going to pray for her. Pray for her as well. And then Sister Jenkins, I know Patsy Jenkins was a part of our fellowship. We just want to pray for those three. And then I just want to mention, thank you for praying for my mom. Some of you may or may not know, about 3 months ago, my life was kind of turned upside down to a certain extent, and my mom, I hadn't heard from her for a couple of days, and she wasn't answering the phone. My brother didn't hear from her. I had to call the police, they found her in her bathroom, and she was slightly coherent, and it just all from there. She had broken both of her wrists, she was in 2 casts, and it was just something that I, of course, had never been through, and my brother and I are 600 miles away. She was in rehab for 3 months, and it was just a journey. Have you ever been through a journey where you just don't know how to maneuver through it? And when you're a child of God, you're trusting God, but yet you're struggling in the midst of that as well. And you're just feeling your way through, and you're trusting Jesus. Well, that really does lead into my message today. I want to say thank you, number one, for praying for my mom. She is home now, by the way. And she's living by herself, believe it or not, the honorary mom that she is. But she's functioning well on her own. I want to thank all of you for your prayers. And let's take a minute right now, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to read God's word together. I'll let you remain seated for that. But we will pray for these ladies that we just mentioned. Father, we love you. Thank you for Ella Jones. Love you. Love her, God, and her faithfulness, Lord, to your house. And we just pray you continue to touch her and raise her up, God. She needs, I believe she's feeling your presence right now, but heal her body completely. I heard some good reports that she is becoming coherent, and we're going to pray more of that for her, dear God. We're believing for that today. And Shirley Lightfoot, dear God, continue to touch her. Let those kidneys take, God. And for Sister Jenkins as well. And thank you for what you're doing in my mom's life, Lord. Let's love you and pray you continue to make her health complete. And those in this sanctuary, Lord, this worship center this morning, touch them. There are those here this morning that are struggling, I'm sure. And I pray that you heal them as you have in their past before. Do it again today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the scriptures, and if you, I think we have the scripture up there for this morning. I don't have a lot of slides, but we do have some scriptures. We're going to read Matthew. The journey that I went through with my mom, it just kind of, just really speaks well with our portion of scripture, and we're going to walk through that this morning. And this is the parable of the sower. You're very familiar with that, the different soils. And let's talk about that. Compare yourself to the soils. Which soil are you? And let's be honest this morning, okay? And so the parable of the sower goes like this. In chapter 13, verse 1, it says, the same day Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the lake. There was such large crowds that gathered around him that he got into the boat, and he sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, they all stood on the shore. And then he told them many parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they did not have good root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 30 times that was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I love this portion because as I went through a little bit of a journey with my mom's situation, and we all go through journeys. You have your own unique ones. And sometimes we find out what we're made of when we go through stuff, when we go through things. We find out where we're at in Jesus. You know, depending on how you deal with your circumstances will tell you what you know about your God. Amen? Okay? Or what you know about your God will show you how you're going to deal with your situations. If you believe your God is powerful, okay, if you believe you're a child of God, and I don't have to fear anymore, then you will not, if you believe it. But we're going to be tested, and we're going to find out what we're made of. One of the things with kids that worries me just a little bit, not a huge problem, but I don't think our kids know phrases very much anymore. Have you ever told a kid, you know, you give a child something, you tell them, someone gave them something, and you tell them, hey, and they complain about it. You tell them, hey, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And they kind of look at you like, what? What does that mean? And I've had times where I've had to sit down, and I just asked the young man, I mean, we're talking teenagers. Do you know what that even means? No. I think they just look at us and just accept it. And they kind of get an idea, okay? Not knowing that it means being grateful with what people give you. And then how about a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. All right, they look at you, well, what do you mean by that? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, be happy with what you have. Okay, and don't be trying to get something that you don't have when you already have something to be happy with it. Today, in this message, I thought what would be appropriate is a phrase that says, when the going gets tough, the believer gains a godly perspective. When the going gets tough, the believer gains a godly perspective. I love the saying about the boots. If I have this right, you know, you fall down, you go down, you pick yourself up by your bootstraps, right? I'm not a cowboy. If Pastor Randy were here, he could explain it, right? Wearing his boots. But I'm sure there's a couple of straps on that boot, and if you fall down, you use that to get yourself back up. There are times in our lives when, listen, you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to rise up. Jesus is not going to push you through your troubles and your problems, but you are a child of God. You don't have to fear anymore, as Suhanna is saying. We've got to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and press on and move on and show that God is a miracle-working God in our lives. Amen? Amen. There's times when we walk through what the Bible calls the valley of the shadow of death, and we don't have to fear evil if we know who our God is. We don't have to fear evil if we have spent time with our Father in heaven. We don't have to fear evil when we walk through those troubled times if we have done something in our relationship with Jesus. Somebody better shout amen right now. Come on now. All right, I won't put too much pressure on you, but it's a good gauge that you're with me. In fact, I was telling someone earlier, I got some pebbles in my pocket, so you better watch yourself first three rows, okay? Because I got a pretty good arm, okay? I didn't want to bring anything that would hurt you. Just want to keep us alive today. Amen. Our relationship with God is dependent on how we've spent time with Him and what we've done with our relationship with Him. So we're going to read a few more scriptures here. And as we look at the meaning of the soils, we're going to look at that. But before we do that, let's take a look at how the Old Testament spoke into, Jesus utilized the Old Testament to speak into what He was sharing with the disciples. The disciples, when they're in the boat, picture this, the crowd is around, they're on the shoreline. There's people who are interested in Jesus. And they think He's impressive, of course. They've seen things He's done, they've heard things He has said, and they want to hear more. But they're not totally getting it or understanding it. And so Jesus is speaking, and the disciples, after Jesus speaks about these soils and a few other parables, He asks them, why do you speak to these folks with parables? And Jesus tells them, He says, well, because the kingdom or the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, disciples, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they do have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 700 years previous. Isaiah, God said this to Isaiah. Isaiah shared it. He said, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. This is a problem that's been going on for thousands of years and is still going on today. The best way for me to illustrate that, really, in modern times is, you know, because Jesus is saying, well, I'm not giving it to them because they're not listening and they're not receiving, and this is for you, disciples, because you're open. It's kind of like I relate it to, don't be offended, I relate it to our Golden Knights hockey team, okay? How many of you were really into hockey before we got the Golden Knights? Okay, we got one. Excellent. Okay, well, great. This is going to be a great example, okay? I wasn't so much into hockey. The only other hockey team I knew of was the Los Angeles Kings because I came from L.A. But there is, you know how many other hockey teams that I knew nothing about them. Well, it wasn't something that was presented to me often. It wasn't something I cared about. It wasn't something that was heavy on my heart. It wasn't anything that I was interested in until the Golden Knights came. And I'm a fair-weathered fan because I don't even know what's going on with the Golden Knights until the playoffs. And I just praise God, and I'm glad to claim them because they went to the Stanley Cup their first season, which was really awesome. And then the past two seasons, they went all the way to, I guess we call it the semifinals, I'm not sure, but they came really close and pretty impressive. And so when that season comes around, I'm like, yeah, the Golden Knights, Vegas, baby. But I'm not really a fan. It's not something I'm interested in. And that's, I think that's what Jesus is saying here. They're saying, why do you speak in parables? And He's saying, well, because I'm trying to speak to these folks, but they're not at a place in their life where they're interested. They're not at a place where it's important to them. They're not excited about it. They're not hungry for it. If they were like you, disciples, then they would be asking questions, and they would say, tell us more. And if you have more, you're going to get more because you're asking for more and you want more, and you're hungry for more. So the question is, where are we at in our relationship with Jesus? Are we hungry? Are we just hungry for lunch today? Or both? We need both. And that's where the soils come in. And let's talk about that just a little bit. I want you to ask yourself this morning, what type of soil are you out of the four soils? And let's take a look at that right here. We're going to describe these soils. It says, Jesus said to the disciples after he explained what was said in Isaiah, and he said, but blessed are your eyes, disciples, because your eyes see, and your ears, blessed are your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but do not see it. And they long to hear it, but are not hearing it. We're talking about people that think they love God, that think they want to utilize God's word for the right purposes, but they're not. Okay, the Pharisees. The Pharisees just love to wear the outfits. They love their position. And those are folks, Jesus is saying, that did not really, they didn't hear what I'm trying to say. In fact, they didn't like what Jesus was trying to say. In verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, he does not understand it. The evil one comes in and he snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that has fallen on the path. Verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, and they're excited. But since they have no root and it only lasts a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, or they quickly fall away. The third soil. Which soil are you? In the third soil, the seeds falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. And lastly, but the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. Which soil are you today? In a little bit, I'll tell you what soil I am. I'll tell you, going through what I went through with my mom, going through what other things I've gone through in life, as we all do, the challenges we face will tell you what soil you're made of, will tell you where your heart's at, will tell you how you received God's word in the past to prepare you what's going to happen in the future. Let me tell you a quick story about my lawn, just to segue here a little bit. My lawn in the backyard, I'm not happy with it. When we moved into our house 3 years ago, everybody was buying fake grass. I thought, I ain't doing that. I'm old school. I like the real stuff, okay? And so I had landscapers come in, and they did all the work. My previous house, I did it myself, and my grass is the greenest grass in town. I had landscapers come in. They did what they thought was a great job. And for the past 3 years, my lawn has looked terrible. So I've had to get online and find out, what do you do to make this grass look better? There's a whole process that goes into it, to prep that soil, to make that soil healthy, to be able to receive that seed. You have to do several things, and I'll run through it real quick, so take notes if you want a better looking lawn, okay? Or maybe what not to do, because my lawn still isn't all that great. You have to dethatch it. You got to get in there and get all the dead stuff out, okay? So you got to scratch it really good with a heavy rake and get all the old stuff out. You'll have piles of it. It'll be white. It'll be dead, and get that out of there. Otherwise, the seed can't get through it. You got to aerate it, which I don't like doing. You got to take either rent a machine, which is a hassle, or if you have a small yard, you get a little like a pitchfork made for aerating, which gets air into, pokes holes in the ground and gets air in there, oxygen in there to help the soil. Okay? Does this sound like work? It's work. I don't want to do it, but if I want my grass to be green, if I want good results in the summer when the heat is beaten down on my grass, I want it to stay healthy. So I get out there with this pick fork, and it's got four splines on it. That's all it has. And I go like this, and that, and this, and that. And thank God I have a small yard. Okay, but you can rent those if you want, but they're a hassle. So you got to aerate it. You got to, now you can sow the seed. Okay, just like the farmer in the Bible. All right? The sower has to take the seed and cast it out. Okay? And I would take the air, the seed spreader and cast it all out and get all the seed out there on the grass. Then you got to take a topsoil, put all that all over, rake it all over, and step on it and get it down nice and good so the seed is below it. Then you got to water it three times a day for almost 6-8 weeks. It's a lot of work. And then that grass will come up, and it'll come up green, and it will come up beautiful, and it will come up strong. Now, I have a problem with my yard still, because when they put that sod in, they did not put good soil in. And because those roots, they stop on that hard ground, my grass struggles. So I got to get out there and I got to give it extra TLC. In our parable today, who's the farmer? God. What is the seed in our parable today? The Word of God. Okay. What is the soil? It's our hearts. Okay. The only thing in this parable that changes is what? The soil. Okay. God doesn't change. He's the farmer in the parable. The seed doesn't change. It's God's Word. It's good yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The only thing that can change is the condition of our heart. And that's up to the person who has that heart, and that's you and that's I. That's us. As we go through these trials in life, we will be successful based on how we prepped our hearts, based on how we receive the seed, how we receive God's Word. You're doing a great job today. You're like, you're tilling the soil today. You're allowing your heart to be softened. You're allowing your heart to be opened. Okay, I want to encourage you with that today, but there's some of you, I've already seen a few of you sleeping. All right, I got pebbles. I think you're sleeping, I can't tell. I can't tell from up here. So I'm just going to keep it in my pocket. But listen, we can come to God's house. We can go through the motions. We can come in here and we can stand and just listen to the songs. We can listen to Pastor Mike or not listen to, man, I've heard this parable I don't even know how many times. I know it's the sower and the seed and it's God and it's the Bible in my heart. Or you can listen and you can receive it and you can take it in and ask yourself a question, challenge yourself and ask yourself a question, where am I at in my relationship with Jesus? What am I doing to till the soil? What are you doing when you get out of here? What does your prayer life look like? What does your Bible study look like? You know, what are you doing during the week? That's going to determine how you're going to handle the struggles that you're going to face, because you're going to face them, and Jesus even said it. And you know the scripture. I don't even have to mention it. But you know you're going to go through stuff. I thank God. I thank God that I'm diligent. I can do better, and I need to challenge myself, okay? Because my prayer life can get humdrum, all right? My devotions can be lacking. I know we have a soaking ministry, and I know I need to get in there on Fridays, okay? It's hard, but we have to do stuff. We have to challenge ourselves, because when the hard time comes, you're going to doubt God, all right? And that's the soils. There's the hard path, okay? It's that heart that's just not open. It's heard all this before. Yes, it's great, it's wonderful, but when the hard time comes, that seed has no roots and you're going to have trouble, okay? There's the seed that falls just in the shallow soil. So yeah, you come to church and we sing these songs and yeah, Jesus, woo, I love this, wow, yes, and you get charged up and then you walk out the doors and you get a fender bender or somebody cuts you off or whatever the case is, and you're like, what? You want some of this? Hallelujah. I got Jesus on my side, man. Forgive me, I didn't plan that. But the point is this. We can get excited. We can jump around. We can have a great time, which is awesome. We need to, and I love it too. I'm sitting over there, and I'm just like, yes, hallelujah. I need this. Praise God. And sometimes I don't feel like it, but we got to get ourselves to engage. We got to get ourselves to get involved and sing and pray. And if you got to sit and do that, fine. But just, you know, get your mind in a good place where you're tilling. As you're in here, you're tilling that soil of your heart. You're planting these seeds that when the hard time comes, you're like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Sue Hannah sang it. It may not be a scripture. I'm sure it is. But Sue Hannah sang it that I don't have to fear anymore. Because listen, Listen, enemy, I'm a child of God. I don't have to fear anymore. All right? You received that here in God's house. You were open to it. And because you did that, you're going to do okay when the hard times come. When the struggle comes, you're going to be all right. Amen? That's the soil in the shallow ground. And then we get the soil that falls in the good ground, but it gets caught up in the midst of stuff. It gets caught up in the midst of weeds. It gets caught up in the midst of thorny plants, situations. And that's the person who's like us. We're here in church, and we're pretty solid. But now we're getting distracted. We're getting distracted by things outside of church. Now we're coming to church, well, we're coming four times a week, and now it's three, and now it's two, now we're down to one. Okay? Because we're distracted, or we're tired, or whatever the case may be. No guilt trip today. I only come in here once a year. I shouldn't be making you feel bad, but I love you. And I'm just sharing what I've been through. Okay? And we get distracted in life. We see other things to be more important than our relationship with Jesus. Okay? And what happens is when the scriptures talk about in this soil that when we are persecuted, when problems come, when the difficult times come, okay, like finances have an issue, like when a family member passes away, like when your mom trips and falls and has two casts on her wrists and in rehab, and we don't know if there's resources to take care of this situation, okay? But if you have allowed God to speak to your heart on a daily basis, on a regular basis, you're taking in God's word, and you're spending time with him, and you're worshiping him every time you have an opportunity, but you're making an effort to get close to God. When these trials come, these troubles come, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through it. If somebody can relate to that, please say amen right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that is the situation. That is the recipe. That is how it works. But yes, there's going to be times you don't understand. There's going to be times where you don't understand why your loved one got ill. Your loved one passed away. There's things that even recently has played out, not in my own life, but in America. And I just thought, Lord Jesus, I know somehow you're in control of this. I'm not sure how this allowed to play out. But we just know that God uses everything. Okay? He uses even the bad things that we bring amongst ourselves, or that ungodly people bring, and we're affected by it. God still says he's going to use it for the good of those that love him. And somehow it's all a part of his plan to get us and you to that place that he's always intended for you to be. And it's all about what you've done with your relationship with Jesus. Don't get complacent. There's some of us in here, I see many faithful people. But you need to ask yourself, how have I challenged myself lately? What am I doing that I haven't done before to get closer to Jesus? Because we're going to need that. We're going to need that. But Jesus said, I've overcome everything in this world, and I will get you through it. But if you're not close to him, you're not going to remember that. You're not going to remember those things being said. I'm going to end with this. I have a lot more I can say, but I just want to bring it to a close at this point and just say this. As the scriptures tell us, that seed that falls on the good soil is like the one who hears the word and understands it. Would you agree that God's word is sometimes hard to understand? It is. Sometimes you got to look at it and make sure you don't actually, you know, translate it wrong. Don't candy coat it too much, because it may not be what you think. Let's study this a little bit. Let's look into it a little bit. But the seed that falls on the good soil is like the one who hears the word and understands it. And he says that the one who understands is going to yield fruit. What kind of fruit is that? I'm not sure. I'm sure it's a victorious fruit. It's rising up in the midst of circumstances and getting through it okay. That's the fruit. You know, it's actually the one that takes in God's word, the soil's deep, and receives it. You receive a blessed life. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. I've been a Christian now for, I don't even know how long, 30-some-odd years. No regrets. I thank God that I got saved at 21. I thank God it wasn't 35, 45, or just later on in life. If that's your situation, well, let's just rejoice that you know him today. But I thank God that I've had this beautiful journey throughout all these years. No regrets. What a great life. Life is way too short. And I just thank God that it's been a beautiful one for me. I hope it has been for you. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is so simple. God makes it so easy. He says, all you got to do really is just come to me and believe that I died on the cross and that I rose again from the dead. Realize that you're a sinner, you've made mistakes, and just come to me. And just ask me, invite me to come into your heart and be the Lord and the Savior of your life. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. I'll forgive you, he says. And that's how you become a child of God. Does it feel like anything physically? You'll feel pretty awesome. But I don't know that you feel a physical shot or a punch or anything like that, that you would say, wow. Some of us might get that. But all I know is that I have the confidence that I'm saved, I'm a child of God, I get to go to heaven someday. But not only that, there's an awesome journey. There's an awesome journey that we walk through. And it's a daily one. And you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs, but the ups are going to overshadow the downs. And it's going to be great. And I know in your hearts this morning you're saying, amen to that, Pastor Mike. Amen to that. I just want to invite you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just to say those words to yourself. Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to live for you. Help me to live for you. I'm going to end with this. Depending on what you've done with your relationship with Jesus, there's going to be that battle that's going to come. I've been here a long time, so as I look around, I see a lot of you, and I know some of you have been through some battles, some tough stuff. And as I look at you, I believe each and every one of you that I'm recognizing, you have made it through. And I believe it's because you're in God's house today and that you do more than come to God's house. But when that time came, you were ready for the battle. I have two nephews, Jordan and Caleb. They just went into the Navy. And these rascals, they went in the Navy at the same time. They're poor parents. There was just tears. And they went into boot camp in the Navy. This is probably about 2-3 months ago. Saw pictures of them walking to the recruiter's office and getting ready to go. We all cried together. And then we were able to keep in touch with them through their parents. Being in boot camp, they tear them down. We even watch videos to see what is Navy camp, boot camp like. And they just yell and scream. You know how it is, right? They yell, they scream at them, I'm your mama now. And they just, oh man, there's recruits that are crying. There's recruits that won't put up with it. They get kicked out. They go through stuff. Come to find out, what they do is they break them down to rebuild them. Get rid of those attitudes. Get rid of that way of thinking. And build them back up again so they're ready. When the real battle comes, they're not running around like, oh my God, that's a bullet. No. They're like, come on everybody, batten down the hatches, let's go. And they're ready for battle. They go through all that stuff, and the last thing they go through before they graduate is called battle stations. They now have everything they've been taught, and they have not graduated yet because they have to pass battle stations. And they have a mocked ship. And now they're going to take all that training that they learned, and they're going to see, can they take what they learned and now put it to practice when the heat is on, when the trouble comes, when the pressure's on? And they go into those battle stations, and they simulate trouble. They simulate problems. They simulate fires and see if these recruits can handle it. And they start them at 8 o'clock at night and take them all the way through the morning to the next day. The most difficult scenario they can put them through. Battle stations. How have you prepared yourself for your battle station? How have you gotten ready for the trial that's on its way? Because it's coming. I wish it wouldn't, but that's the way God does his best work in building your faith. But how have we built ourselves, readied ourselves?